Happy Father's Day again, everybody, and happy Grandfather's Day. And the one gentleman said happy Great-Grandfather's Day. Isn't it great to be a guy? Isn't it great to be a man? Let me just give you a few reasons why it's good to be a man. Number one is, when you're surfing the TV and you hear somebody crying, you can keep going. Come on, somebody, keep going. How many like this? You can go to the bathroom by yourself. Let's see another one here. All right, if another guy shows up at a party you're at and he's wearing the same shirt you're having, you're lifelong friends. One wallet, one pair of shoes, one color, all seasons. There's always a game on somewhere. Here's this last one. You can clean your nails with your pocket knife. Come on, somebody. Isn't that great? A man sent his wife to the hardware store to buy some 2x4s. When she got there, she said, "I'd like some 4x2s, please." And the man said, "You mean 2x4s, don't you?" And she, wait a minute, she got on the phone, she called home. Yes, I mean 2x4s. And the guy said, "Well, how long you need them?" She said, she thought a minute, she said, "Oh, a long time. We're going to build a house with them." And so, everybody say, it's good to be a man. I said, everybody say, it's good to be a man. I want to talk to you a lesson I've never taught on before. And I thought it'd be good because being a granddad now and enjoying it, and when I was married in my 30s, and then we started having children, and I had children by the time we were 35, and I was almost like a grandchild. I mean, for me, if they didn't want to go to school, I said, "Oh, let's go to school. Let's go fishing. Come on, let's go do it." And, me and him, we'd be, doing all this. And it was the joy of my life being a parent, and it's the joy of my life to being a grandparent. And I want to talk to you today about some things I learned, and one of them is the blueprint. Last week we talked about the Word of God, how important it is to put into your children's life and the spiritual things. But one of the things that we did was when I watched how the Father spoke and treated his son, that was a blueprint to me of how a father ought to treat his son and his children. And I want to talk about what every child needs to hear from their father. Everybody say that with me. What every child needs to hear from their father. Because we're all children, whether we're children, we all started out as children. Now we're grown children, parents of children, grandparents, great-grandparents. And we started the world as children. There's not a father in here who does not want the best for their children. And how can I help my children become all that they're to be, what the Lord's designed them to be? And the best example is to look at the relationship between God the Father and his Son. And I want to tell you, there was two times that God spoke audibly about his Son to other people. In the New Testament, there's two times when God the Father spoke to other people standing around about his Son, to them about his Son. And I thought about those today, this last week, and I said, let me do something on that. I've never done that before. And that was one of the things, because in this, what he did was, I don't know if you've ever had your parents say something about you to somebody else in front of you. I don't know if your parents ever said something, about you to other people while you're standing around. And there was twice in the Lord's life that his father said something about him to the people that were standing around him. And I don't know, when you're young or you have respect for your parents, it really impacts you. And there was twice in the New Testament that the Father spoke to other people about his Son while Jesus was listening to the Father say this. One of them was at his baptism. Let's read it. Says, the moment Jesus came out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice. This is my Son. Now listen, he's speaking to other people, the Father is, about his Son at this baptism. He's speaking about it to other people while his Son is listening to this. This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. All right. Now, the second one was at the Mount of Transfiguration. And it goes like this. Just then a light, radiant cloud enveloped them, and from the deep cloud a voice. This is my son, marked by my love. Listen to him. So let's pray this morning. I want to take these two situations and talk about what every child needs to hear their father say. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you would go beyond just our minds, but include it, Lord, but our hearts. Touch us, open our understanding. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Now, in these two settings, Jesus heard his father say what every child needs to hear their father say to them. And let me just go through these for you because it'll help. And number one is this. The first thing he heard his father say when he's standing there, once he comes up out of the water in baptism, the second time he's on the Mount of Transfiguration and he becomes just, we don't know what it was, but he just changed, became so bright that it was brighter than noonday sun. And the father spoke about him to the people that was standing around. The father doesn't speak to the son. He speaks to the people around him. And he speaks and he says things about his son. It's what every child needs to hear their father say. Number one is this. Number one is, the first thing Jesus heard and felt when he's listening to his father say this to the people around him, the first thing he feels is, I belong. And what he says is this in verse 17, he says, along with a voice says, this is my son. Everybody say that with me. This is my son. The first thing he felt was belonging. Literally, he said, listen, this is my son. I belong. Number two. Sorry, go back. Oh, two's up on there. I am loved. Everybody say, I am loved. And that's in verse 17. Listen what it says here in verse 17. And along with the Spirit, a voice said, this is my son, chosen and marked by my love. Number one, he felt I belong. I'm his son. I'm part of the family. I'm his son. Second thing he says, I'm loved. I am chosen and marked by his love. And the third thing was, you saw it was, I am special. Everybody say, I'm special. And that's verse 17 again. Along with Spirit says, I am chosen, this is my son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. Now, I would assume that some of you have heard other things said about you by your parents at some point in life. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus, when the Father spoke there at the baptism, he said those three things. Jesus felt and he heard, number one is, I'm his son. I belong. I'm part of the family. Number two, I'm loved. I'm marked. I'm chosen, marked by his love. Three is, I am special. I'm delight of his life. And then again, let's read it one more time in the Mount of Transfiguration. And that is, number one was, he says, along with Spirit. Go to the next one to Mark chapter 9. There we go. Then a light, radiant cloud enveloped them, and from the deep cloud a voice said, this is my son, marked by my love, listen to him. I love this because he felt the same three things. Both times the father spoke to other people about his son, he said the same three things. Number one was, here's what Jesus heard and felt when he was sitting around. Number one is, I am loved. Do I have that one? I don't have that one again. Do I have I am loved? I must have not wrote that right. He said, I am loved in verse 7. It says, I am belong. Number two, I am loved. And number three, I am special. Listen to him. He's got a special something to say to you. That is what Jesus heard when the Father spoke to other people about his son. He's standing there. You ever thought that through? He wasn't speaking to the son. He was speaking to other people about his son. And they were listening. Jesus, though, was standing there listening to the voice when the Father was speaking. And imagine the impact. See, he was not only God, he was also man. Imagine the impact that is having on the Son, listening to his Father talk to other people about him. He's saying, this is my son. Both times he says, this is my boy. This is my son. He belongs. And Jesus feels it. Second was, he's marked and chosen by my love. I've marked him. And third thing is, he's special. He's unique. There's a calling on his life. He listened to him. He's got something to say to you. And so there began to be this kind of, what happens to a child when he hears his father tell him that he belongs, tell him that he's loved, and tell him that he's special? You know what happens in a child's life? Confidence begins to come in that child's life. They begin to feel confident in their life. And a child gains confidence when these three things are spoken in their life. Listen, one of the old sayings was, people grow into the conversation around them. Children will grow into the conversation that is around them, who they are, what they are. And Jesus heard his father say it over and over. And that was just the public times he spoke. I can imagine the private times when the father would speak to the son. We think it's all dry and formal and religious. There was a relationship with the father. And when you read the Bible, in fact, you read it over and over again, when the hatred would come against him by the Pharisees and the religious people, he would say this over and over, the Father loves me. It brought a confidence in him that just transcended everything else. No matter what was going around him, there had been a confidence built up in him because the Father spoke those three things into his life. He belongs to me. I love him, and he's special. And I'm going to tell you, one of the keys is I want to give my father honor, because my father, listen, I won the father lottery when I got the father I got. Because he drilled those things into my life. And I knew I belonged to, I knew I was loved, and he would tell me over and over. You got to see, I could tell you how many times my dad would take me aside, look at me and say, Terry, you're special. I don't know what it is, but God's got something for your life. You're special. And I'm going to tell you, that still in my brain, goes through my brain, the times that he would take me aside and talk to me. The amazing thing is, my dad never had that in his own life. His dad had passed away when he was a young boy. And my dad's dad, was 25 years older than my grandmother. His first wife had passed away, and he married my grandmother, and she was 25 years younger. And so he died, though, and then my grandfather died early or later on in life when my dad was very young. And but only the silly thing, the whole group, my grandfather had made my grandmother promise she would never remarry. Doesn't that sound unfair? Does that sound unfair to you? He remarried, and so she never remarried. And I remember she was 90 some years old when we buried her, and up on a hillside in Virginia, we went there, and there was my grandfather, and we buried my grandmother. On the other side was his first wife. And it was just, you know, and 50 years she lived, say 50 years she lived beyond my grandfather. And it was 50 years prior he buried his father. And my dad never had that in his life. My mother didn't even have that either. My grandfather on my mother's side was a half Cherokee Indian, and not to be stereotyping, but he was an alcoholic, and he drank and drank and drank, and was a very mean man. And my mother never had that into her life either. And yet, let me tell you something about my parents. They broke the chain. Come on, somebody. They broke the chain. And instead of being, my dad was in early life, he was an alcoholic and a lot of drinking, da-da. But there came a day when God changed his life. I'll never forget, we were standing over on 8181 Airline Highway, which is where Home Depot is now. And it used to be the Oak Manor Motor Hotel. And there was a little Baptist mission church in that hotel. And this pastor used to come around and knock on doors. And we were the denomination that certain Baptist denomination was. And I'll never forget, I was home from college. I was in the drug culture of college and all that. But we went to this little meeting that day. And there was probably 50 people there. And I remember at the end, they used to, way the Baptists used to do, they used to call on somebody in the audience to pray. Brother so-and-so, would you close us out in prayer? And how that worked, if you've never been in a church where there's only one entrance, is they would hide, when the guy was praying, the pastor would make his way back to the door, and he would magically appear at the door when everybody opened the closer. He was gone, and he shook everybody's hand when they walked out the door. And so he called. So he calls on my dad, said, "Brother Workman, would you please close us out in prayer?" Our first Sunday there, he came and greeted us when we came in, knew our name. "Brother Workman, would you close us out in prayer?" I'll never forget this. Here's my dad. My dad was backslidden when we had grown up. We'd grown up in the church. He'd been a deacon. He had read the Bible to us all of our young lives. But when we moved, and when we got here, we got away from the Lord. We were in high school and college. And I remember he decided to go to church that Sunday, and so he talked us all into going with him. And he called, he said, "Brother Workman, will you close us out in prayer?" And I remember my dad stood. My dad, if you met my dad, he was a very humble man and very honest. And he said, "Brother," I can't remember his name now. He said, "Brother, I don't feel worthy to pray to God." Now, you say that to a Baptist, it's like a fish on a hook. I mean, that's how. And he got down off the platform. Instead of everybody closing their eyes and him magically appearing at the back door when everybody opened their eyes, he went straight for my dad, led him to the Lord, led him down to the front. He said, "Brother Workman, would you like to bring your family down here and get them saved?" And you know, I remember I'm standing there, and my mom comes down, I come down, and he told this story about a little boy with a boat. I'll never forget it. A little boy with a boat that built it. He put it in a creek. The creek got too fast, got away from him. He lost his boat. One day he's walking through the town, and there his boat is in the window of a shop. Somebody had found it, and they sold it to the shopkeeper in the shop. And he went in there and bought the boat, and he said, "I bought the boat twice." And he told this story about how God owned me to start with, and now God was buying me back again. And it just broke my heart. And I remember coming down, and all of us knelt at an altar that day and gave our lives to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, my dad, and listen, my dad became the kind of dad that you would honor. I mean, he put into me these three things: you belong, you're loved, you're special. And let me tell you, this is not beyond any one of us in here this morning. It is, listen, though you cannot go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. Come on, say it. Everybody read that with me. Come on. Though you cannot go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. I'm going to tell you, it happens that way. It was like Mark Twain. If you ever read Mark Twain, Mark Twain said he spent a lot of money finding out about his family tree, and then he spent twice as much trying to keep it quiet. Come on, somebody. There was a family that wanted to do its history. They went to one of those, places where they do background checks on your family and about your family history. So they went to a professional biographer, and they wanted to make up a big thing for their family. And the only problem they had was in their discovering, they found out that they had that one black sheep of the family, Uncle George. He had been electrocuted in an electric chair because of murder. So they went to the biographer, and they said, "Well, we want it written up, but what can you do?" I said, "Oh," he said, "no problem." So when they got it, here's what he said about Uncle George. "Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important governmental institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as quite a shock." My mom and dad poured into us, and I belong. I'm loved, and I'm special. When Jasmine got married, I waited a long time. I waited, I pastored 7 or 8 years here single. I waited a long time, and I did that not because I couldn't find anybody. I was waiting. I mean, here's what I really did. I watched the parents of the girl I wanted to marry to see how they raised their children. Because I knew this. I knew one of the problems would happen in a church is a pastor's wife can either be a blessing or a curse. Come on, somebody. When I saw Jasmine, I knew the blessing had come. Come on. And I knew that she would raise her children right. And that would be a big part. And so we put a lot of time and effort into our kids. I've been accused through the years of putting too much time into my kids. I never regretted a moment I put in my kids. I traveled the world with them. But we put in time. I'll tell you, we wanted. I remember one time. I'll tell you a good one. One time during their high school years was when the Lord of the Rings came out, the trilogy and the three movies. Well, you know, they would come out. It would come out at 12:01 on Thursday night. You know, it would be Friday, and it would come out. The opening would be 12:01. Those big movies like that. So they did that. They started for the three of them for 3 years in a row, 12:01 on a Thursday, well, Friday morning, you know, right after Thursday midnight, they would come out with that. So my kid said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, can we go?" The only problem was all three of those years was exam week for their high school. And you know what we did? I said, "All right, here's the deal." I said, "Go to bed at 8 o'clock. I'll wake you up at 11:30 and we'll go." And for 3 years in a row on an exam week, we went to Lord of the Rings from about, and the good thing was they wouldn't show commercials. So they just started the movie. At 12:01, the movie started. And 12:01, and but it was a three, come on, it was a 3 hour movie. And I'm going to tell you, there was one night, we got there a little later and we had to sit on the second row. And if you know Lord of the Rings, there was a lot of fighting. And I'd be sound asleep, and you know, I'd hear start that war again. I'd wake up, and here'd be the war again in my face. I'd go back asleep. I had to watch it again, because all I saw was, I said, this is a lot of fighting. All I ever saw was a fighting part. And, but you know what? They would go to school the next day, and they'd say, guess what we did last night? What'd you do? We went and saw Lord of the Rings. How many know that was a big deal to a teenager? And you know, let me tell you, they both were valedictorian out of their high schools. Didn't hurt them a bit. We paid a price, we did. But I'm going to tell you, they both love, and I want to make them spill, and listen, I want to tell that one special, because I don't have a lot more stories to tell about how I did stuff, you know. I was a good parent, but I had a friend of mine who was invited to lunch with the president with some other pastors. And he had never missed one of his kids' game. And one of his sons had a game that weekend. And he was invited to go to have lunch with the president with some other pastors. And the son said, "Oh, absolutely. No, dad, no, dad, go have lunch with him." And dad said, "All right." And he was at the airport and about to board the plane when he felt so guilty, he canceled the flight, went back home and went to his son's game. How many of you would have went on with the president? Would you have had lunch with the president? You know, I had a problem with that because I had a real, in my heart, I said, I probably would have gone on lunch with the president. Who knows? I might have needed a get out of jail free card, you know, a pardon one day. Who knows? I might have had a, Ian. But I'm going to tell you, God will speak to you how you can do things. But he told me, he said, you know what? It marked my son's life. My son saw me standing in those stands and knew that I gave up having lunch with the president of the United States of America to sit in a small school game and to watch me. Come on, somebody. Isn't that great? When my grandkids, now we've formed our grandkids, we love our grandkids. How many know grandkids are fantastic? And when you had enough of them, you can say, go home. Time to go home. I need you to go home. But we have, when my grandkids are over, my phone rings a lot. And you know, they have a saying that when my phone rings, here's what everybody shouts. He can't talk to you right now. He's playing with his grandkids. Because first time I started playing with him, every time my phone rings, I said, sorry, I can't talk to you right now. I'm playing with my grandkids. I wouldn't even answer it. I just let it ring. I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. I'm playing. And now when my phone rings, they all shout it. Guess what I'm getting for Father's Day today? PS4 Pro. Come on, somebody. With 6 controllers. Come on. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah. We put a pool in. I put a pool in. It's 12 feet wide, but it's a pool. All right. I put a pool in. And I did it. I did it for my wife, number one. She's a fish. She loves to swim. She swims twice a day. I mean, she swims twice a day. She loves to. In the winter, she swims. We went on Amazon. We're now Prime members of Amazon, and we're spending our kids' inheritance on Prime Amazon. But we're spending it in a day. It comes in a day. But a good thing, she bought her one of these wetsuits, you know, that surfers wear in California, that you can go in the cold Pacific and surf. And we bought her one, and she jumps in this pool. She's like a fish. Now, I do have a heater. I did put a heater on it, so I do heat the water up a little bit. But you know, the main thing we did for it, let me tell you what a pool does. A pool is not just some extravagant expense you put if you use it. Now, if you don't use it, it's an extravagant expense. And, you know, the two happy days, day you build it, day you fill it. But if you use it, it's not, it's a pool of fellowship. You ought to see our families. They all can come on a free vacation. Doesn't cost them a penny. They come over. The dads and the moms spend hours with their kids in a pool, interacting, talking, sharing. I'm going to tell you some things you do there. My heart is for my children and my grandchildren, and I love to watch that because, you know, all of you may do this, but, you know, any picture they draw for us, you got to see our house. We have drawings everywhere, pictures, you know, taped here, taped there, this, there. You know, we're not into, you know, design. We got pictures of grandkids. They pictured and did all that. I mean, it's like everywhere. But I'm going to tell you, because my kids, my stuff is this. If they break something in my house, I can fix it. Ain't no big deal. Come on. What do you want to eat? Oh, come on. Let's go eat on the bed. Who cares? Come on. You know, let's go do it. And so I don't misuse my stuff. But remember the story I told you about one of the great baseball players. I forgot his name. He was out and he had two boys and he was out in the front yard and they were cutting up and they were using something and it was tearing up the yard. And the wife came out and she screamed, "You're tearing up the yard." And the guy said, "I'm raising kids, not a yard." Come on, somebody. And I'm raising kids. I'm teaching to be respectful and not tear up stuff. I don't want to come to your house and tear up your house. But at the same time, I told you, when I grew up, we had an old Ford, and Dad never took the plastic off the seats. I thought somebody will be good enough one day to sit on those seats, but it's not going to be us. My mom never took the plastic off the lampshades. She never took the plastic off the lampshades. And they were, you know how they turn yellow and burnt and look and all that? She never took the plastic off because she had four boys. And let's go on there. All right, now, I love this song. This is an old song. And this is a song that says, "Some things I must tell the children." You know, one of the keys is all the things that you got to teach them, how to comb their hair and brush their teeth and be on time and all those things. And some days your day's going to be so filled with taking a kid here, another kid there for that game, and a kid over here for this, and this sport, and this sport, and then a doctor visit, and then tooth, and, you know, and braces, and on and on. And your day can be so filled. But then you come to the end of the day, did I teach them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength? Not leaving the other things. You said, don't leave the other things undone. But did you do the most important? And I love this thing. This is for the old people. This is an old song called "Some Things I Must Tell the Children." Go ahead.
How can we tell you the things we must tell you? Things that we want you to know. All about living. Reasons for giving, things that will help you to grow. Oh, we've watched your diet and taught you to be quiet in places of worship and school. We've kept you well groomed with a nice, tidy room. Mention the golden rule. But I love the way, did your heart hear us say, that you don't have to earn our love? There's not a thing you can do to make us stop loving you. Just the joy that you brought, enough. There isn't a thing that the future might bring that could take back the gift that you are. Because you are a treasure we never could measure. Just some things that I must tell the children. Get two appointments on time. And little one, how many times have we told you to hang up your clothes and finish the homework assigned? You've learned to care for your teeth and your hair, and make your own bed every day. You got decent grades, and your lunch money's paid, and you won your first game yesterday. But did we make it clear? Were you able to hear as you skip through the house and our lives that God has a plan that you must understand, no matter how much you arrive? Never stop dreaming, keep working and singing. Whose child you are. Stand tall and walk straight and be home before 8. Just some things I must tell the children.
Everybody say amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. One thing I do with my grandkids is especially when I get them alone, I'll look at them. I'll say, "Look at me." You know how kids are, "Look at me." And most of the time, when that is said, 99% of the time, I said, "I love you." And that focus, you know, I got one of them, Isaac. He says, "Why do you keep telling me that?" Because he may need it most. Come on, somebody. Hey, come on, Isaac. And I tell him, "Look at me." And I said, "You're special." And I'm going to tell you, you never know the impact that your words have on those young ears and lives. Now, let me give you the best part. Here's the best part. I want you to know that God, our Father, as he did for Jesus, he does for us. And I don't know if you've ever heard God the Father talk to other people about you. Through my life, we believe we're a spirit-filled church. We believe in prophetic words and other things. And through my years, I've had the people come say, "You know what the Lord told me about you, and it would be this." And you know what? It reminds me of how the Father spoke to other people about his Son. And the good thing now is, maybe you've never felt like you belonged or never felt loved or never felt special. But look at these things. Let's go to these three things we're going to end up this morning. Number one is a sense of belonging. Number one is it's a sense of belonging. You belong. And I love what it says in 1 John chapter 3. It says, "Has extended to us," "what marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called," everybody say, "we're called children of God." That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. I love what it says. Look at the marvelous love the Father's extended us. Just look at, we're called the children of God. Everybody look at somebody and say, "You're a child." Just look at somebody and say, "You're a child of God." Say it to somebody, would you? Listen, the God that made the heavens and the earth calls you a child of God, calls you one of his. It's the same thing as the day that Jesus stood and he would say it twice at the baptism, at the transfiguration. "This is my Son." And the Lord says that about every one of you. You are his son. You are his daughter. He here belong. I love the story of the prodigal son. You know the story. A boy gets his inheritance and goes off and spends it all wildly. And then comes to a place where he comes to himself and he says, "Even the servants in my father's house is better off than me." And here's what always happens. When you mess up your life, you always reduce yourself in your own mind. And the boy that said, "I will go back and I will give myself and I will be a servant in my father's house." And I'll go get a bunk out in the bunk, out in the barn, and I'll live out there, but I'll be back home at least. And let me tell you something. He begins to go back home. He heads back home. And when he's not far away, he, in his own eyes, that whole journey back home, in his own eyes, he's reduced himself. In his own eyes, he's less than. In his own eyes, he's put in his brain what his father thinks about him. That my father hates me now. My father is upset with me. My father is disappointed in me. My father doesn't like me. My father's reduced me also in his eyes. Let me tell you, the father had never considered that. In his own mind, he'd reduced himself. In his own heart, he'd reduced himself. In his own thinking, he'd reduced himself that he's less than. The Bible says when he got near the house, he says, I'll come as a servant. He reduced himself. When he came out near the house, the Bible says he saw him from afar. And the father took off running at him and threw his arms around him and began to hug him and kiss him and love him. Put the picture up there if you got the picture, if you would. He began to love him and hug him and kiss him. And the Bible says that the son begins his speech. Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'll just put me out in the barn. I'll get a bunk with the servants and I'll do chores for you and all that. Let me tell you, the father had never even considered that in his brain. That had never entered the heart of the father. That had never one thought had crossed the father's heart that now my son is reduced. He's no longer a son. He's a servant. It never even crossed his brain. The Bible says he put his arms around him and loved him and brought him back into it and never considered. He had never thought. Listen, God has never thought of you as a second class citizen. You may be here back this morning. You may have been away for a while. Whatever it may be. Listen, God never thought of you as a second class citizen. You may think of yourself. You may have reduced yourself in your own brain that you're a second class. You're a lot worse than everybody else here. Let me tell you something. God never considered. That never crossed God's mind one time. He loves you. Listen, the story, he's telling this story that day. He's telling it to prostitutes. Read who he's talking to. Prostitutes and drunkards and tax collectors and all that's there. He's telling this story of the prodigal son to them. And he wants them because all of them thought, oh, man, we don't go to church. We don't go to synagogue. We're not part of that religious robe, group. And Jesus tells them, listen, you've reduced yourself in your own mind, but the Father has never considered that once. He loves you like he loves the Pharisee. He loves you like he loves the Sadducee. He loves you like he loves all those other people. And it came in their brain. I'm going to tell you, there's something happens. I remember this. I had a buddy of mine one time. He had a church. I was down in Canal Street this last week, down near the river in New Orleans. And I went by where his church had been. And I remember that one time he had a church, and he began to get some prominent people in it. And one Sunday service, he's preaching, and on the front row, four prostitutes came in. They looked like they'd not slept the night. They sit on the front row. He preached, and when he got done, all four of them gave their lives to the Lord at the altar. But he said, I've got to be honest with you. He said, I came down, I was praying, and he said, two of them just grabbed me and held on to me and began to cry. And he said, I felt him, I looked around shamefully thinking, oh no, what are the rich people, what are they going to think about it? And he said, I finally just put them back down. And he said, I got out the side door. He said that night he went to sleep. And in his sleep, he said he was suddenly at a hospital. And all of a sudden, these sirens went off. And he saw these ambulances heading toward the hospital. And when they opened up the back door, they pulled out. There'd been a horrible crash. And they pulled out, and there's people that blood and on the stretchers, blood had spilled over on the ambulance floor. And they pulled them out, and they were about to bring them in the hospital. And the administrator of the hospital stepped out. And when the doors opened, you could look in, and it was just spotless. The hospital was just spotless. It was stainless steel, and it was clean and spotless. And the administrator walked out, stop! You can't bring those dirty people in here. This place is sanitized. You can't bring them in here. And he said, he's standing there and he shouts at the top of his lungs, but it's a hospital. And when he said that, he said, he woke up, he was sitting up straight up in bed shouting that. And the Lord said, this isn't a place for sanitized people. This is a hospital. Come on, son. This is a hospital. Come on, give the Lord a good clap. It's a place for bringing them in. And you might feel that you're less than. You might have reduced yourself, but it has never entered the Father's mind. He doesn't look down on you. He doesn't look up. Listen, he loves you. You belong here. If you feel like this is where you belong. Number two is this, you're loved. He also wants you to know that Ephesians 3, listen what it says. I ask him to strengthen you by his spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. That Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus extravagant, everybody say this two words with me, extravagant dimensions. Say that one more again. Extravagant dimensions. One more time. Extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. And here it is. Watch this. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb its depths, rise to the... Look at the dimensions. Go back. Look at this dimension. The extravagant dimensions. Here it is. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God. Everybody say extravagant. Extravagant dimension of Christ's love. Let me give that to you. Let me give you the breath. You know what breath means? That means the width of it. That means everyone. That means God loves everyone. Do I have that? Yeah. That means everyone. That means how wide is it? Let me tell you how wide God's love is. Everybody. God so loved the church. Is that what it says? God so loved the church. God so loved the religious people. God so loved the goody-good two-shoes. God so loved the world that whosoever, everybody say whosoever. Whosoever, the breath. The second one is the length. That means it goes on and on. How long will God keep? The Bible says, get the extravagant dimension of the length of God's love. It goes, Jesus, remember the story he gave about forgiveness? And Peter said, how many times? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. That meant love knows no ending point. God will come after you. God will love you. The third one was the depth. That means no matter how low you have gotten, the extravagant dimension of the love of God goes just a little bit lower to pick you up out of that. I don't know where you slept last night. I don't know what you did this week. I don't know what you've done. But I know this, I don't matter how low you've gone, I know the extravagant dimension of the love of God goes just a little bit lower to pick you up. Come on, somebody. To love the Lord. And then I love the last one. The height, that's about your potential. You may think you're going nowhere, but God's got a calling on your life. God's got something for you. Listen, you are special. If no one else, he's died for you. And then the last one is, you're special. God wants you to know how special you are. Ephesians 1 says that how blessed is God. And what a blessing he is. He's the father of our master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us. Does that make you feel special? Long before he laid down the foundations of the earth, he had us. Why did he make a world for us? Why did he make animals for us? Why did he make a sea for us? Why did he make oxygen for us? Why did he make a sun for us? Why did he make a universe for us? Come on, somebody. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus. What a pleasure he took in planning this. I say, listen, I remember a friend of mine was talking to an atheist one day. He'd become good friends with him. And he had tried to sow into his life. And one day he felt, he said, his friend had become vulnerable where he felt at ease to say this. And his name wasn't Joe, but let me just say his name. It says, Joe, he said, I just want to tell you something. He said, I want to tell you something. I know you don't believe in God, but I can tell that you miss him. Do you hear this? He said, Joe, I can tell that you, I know you don't believe in God, but I can tell that you miss him. You know why? Because he said these things. He said, you know what? He said, everybody, listen, even if you don't believe in God this morning and you've just come just because someone invited you, even if you don't believe in God, odds are you miss him. Because every one that was created by God misses God. Everyone, though they may not even, and especially if you're backslidden this morning, you believe in God, but you're backslidden. You know what? You know why you miss him? You miss him because you have a longing to belong somewhere. A longing to belong somewhere. You have a longing in your heart to be loved. You have a longing in your heart to be special. Close your eyes this morning, would you? Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're away from God. Maybe you came because, you know, for whatever reason was today was, you know, a special day that you came. But, you know, in God the Father, God had it all planned. There's no accidents with God. And God's looking at you this morning, and you may have reduced yourself because of your actions and your thoughts and your lifestyle and all that you've done. And you may not feel really, really right to be in this place because you're not the goody two shoes. You're not the holy of holy. You're not any of that. You just came to honor somebody. You came to placate somebody. But this morning, I'm going to tell you, with God, in your heart, you want to belong. You want to be loved and you want to be special. That's a yearning. And believe this or not, all three of those things a father would say over you. All three of those things. And in God's mind, it's never crossed his mind that you're some second class citizen. He has never crossed his mind. And so this morning, I want to just give you a chance. If you miss God, if you really miss God, maybe you're backslidden this morning. You're away from God and you miss him. You really miss him. You miss his presence. You miss him speaking to you. You miss belonging. You miss being loved by him. You miss feeling special by him. I want every head bowed. And if that's you and you say, Pastor, would you? I miss God. I miss God this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand? Just lift your hand. If that's you this morning, you say, you know, Pastor, I just miss God this morning. Say, Lord, I just miss God. I miss God. Anybody here this morning? God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you. God bless you. Those three. Somebody else? Say, Pastor, I just miss God. Pastor, I miss God. Four. God bless you. Somebody else? Let's pray with those four. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell you, God is so excited. Long before the worlds were ever built, he did it for you. Everything he's done for you. All that he did, he did it with such pleasure. He planned the world with such pleasure, with anticipation that he would have sons and daughters. And when his son came and he spoke openly to other people about him, he said those three things. You belong, I love you, and you're special. And I'm going to tell you, you are a child of the living God. And he says those three things to you this morning. You may be on the road heading back to him. And you may have reduced in your own brain what you're worthy of and not worthy of. But this morning there is a God that has never crossed his brain. That has never crossed his mind. Every one of us, if you only knew all of us and where we've been and what we've done. And how God has loved us. So I want everybody to pray with me. Let's pray with those four and just ask the Lord's help. Say, dear God, I miss you. I want to come home. I ask you to forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross. And one more time, I ask you to cleanse me, wash me, hold me. Let me feel I belong. Let me feel I'm loved. And let me feel I'm special. I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a great amen. Come on, everybody give the Lord a great clap offering today. Everybody stand up and let's sing together. Come on.